Okay. So we are up to the Gemara on the top of Daf Vav Amud Aleph. I want to present this first segment of reading goes from the two dots on the second line, or at the end of the first line, and down to the two dots on Vav Amud Beis. There is one, if you had to describe what is the central issue that the Gemara is plumbing here, what is it probing, what is it trying to figure out? In other words, another way of asking yourself the following question. If your job was to write cliff notes on the Gemara, what would you write?
On the surface, it's about what?
The details allow the Gemara to do something completely more or much deeper and touch on different topics. But in terms of the central question the Gemara is addressing here is the following. He would have formulated clearly to someone who's not such an expert in learning. Ben Sia.
The Mishnah gives characteristics of things that you're chayav on, so we're trying to find something that isn't already specified in the Mishnah that these characteristics help us learn.
You're almost there. That's a very, very good start. You have to formulate it a little bit differently. Avram?
What's the point in including that Sadeh Shava in the Mishnah?
So now, that's true. That is a correct summary, except for that if someone is not in learning and not here, they have no idea what you're talking about. You're absolutely correct. So this is how I would formulate it. The Mishnah lists a number of categories of nezikin, which serves as boxes in which you can put actions in the mechayev of a person. The Mishnah then suggests, after explaining certain of the tchunot, certain of the characteristics of each one of these boxes, that hatzara shava shebehem is the following. They have the following common denominator and the following common din. They have the following characteristics, and the outcome is that you have to pay nesek shalim v'meitav haaretz. The fact that the Mishnah uses the term Hatzar HaShava Shebehem implies that there are other things that are not listed in the Mishnah that can be derived, but specifically from a combination of more than one issue. That's what Hatzar HaShava is. In other words, until now, we have seen toldos. A tolda is something that is a subcategory, but a tolda of Eish is what? Eish. A tolda of Shor is Shor. A tolda of Bor is Bor. That is not a Tzar HaShove. A Tzar HaShove is, at least the way the Gemara approaches it here, and usually what it means, a Tzar HaShove is A and B together teach us C. A could not teach us C alone. B could not teach us C alone. But A plus B can combine to teach us C. The Gemara will then make four different suggestions, all of which are omitted by the Rif, of which the Rush comments, but they're all the Halacha. Two of them, in fact, are, one is a Braisa, one's a Mishnah, the other two are Mamers and the Amorim. And the Gemara will suggest four different scenarios. Each of the Amorim gave his own idea for a kind of Nezek that doesn't fall neatly into one category, but instead it needs two boxes. Now, there is a very important question, the Maskana. Now, I'm not going to read it inside, but it is both a broader question and it touches upon some very specific difficulties that the Rishonim grapple with in this sugya, which is when we actually learn one of these four things from two, is it really a combination of the two? In which case, all of the weaknesses of the two are reflected in this one. For example, if you learn something from Bor and Eish combined, what would emerge from that is that you're potter on Kalim and Misa Sa'adam, like a Bor, and you're not Chayv either on Tamun Ba'esh, like Eish. On Tamun, like Eish.
What about the Chumos?
No, by definition, firstly, we wouldn't say that. The starting point of the Avos Nezikin is, you're chayav for doing this. And now, the following are your exemptions. And the answer is no. You don't say, but Eish is chayav on Kalim, so you'll be chayav. No, you learn from Bor that Bor is patur on Kalim. That's what you would do. Because if you have a suffix of Kulon Chumra, you go L'Chumra. And L'Chumra here is not B'motzi Mamon from the Masik. Okay, despite that Rashba that we spent a lot of time on at the beginning of the year.
So
I still don't understand. Let's say one thing has a chumrah the other doesn't have.
If there's something that one is pater on, that gets transmitted to the new, to the offspring.
Uh-huh. But what if each one has a specific chumrah?
That's what I'm telling you. The default chumrah is you do nezek, you're chayef or you're nezek. Uh-huh. Then the Torah picks off by bor, you're pater on kalim and adam shemes. By ish, you're pater on tamon. By regel, you're pater versus arab. So there is no more here. You start with a default and you go down from there. So there is a long famous piece in the Rush here. It's always just quoted as Machlokes Rush and Tosos, although he points out that our Tosos here seems to say, like the Rush does, there's a Machlokes whether or not, even though you learn from two things, maybe at the end of the day you only need the two things in order to build your case, but once you're done it really comes from one. And that one, by the way, throughout all four is Bor. Or do you say no? Tosos on Daf Gimel Mabez and Tosos on top of that little Tosos on the top of Vav Amud Aleph, Lo Garsina Ketepe Rashi L'El, has to do with this point. The Tosos on Gimel Amud Beis claims that no, that when you learn from two things, you have to take the kulas of both. You don't say, it's really a bar, but we needed Eish to kind of shore it up. No, it's a bar Eish.
Well, that part where Rosh quotes the Rosh quotes Tosos, but it's not really like what Tosos is saying.
Well, no, he doesn't misquote Tosos. He quotes something else in Tosos in which he acts almost like he's a Marsha type personality, where he makes a diuk in Tosos, a good diuk, I think, that Tosos, at least at some point on this Amud, seems to be ignoring what he said earlier. Okay, now, two major issues and a side that come up in our sugya, which I would like to deal with one of them tomorrow. What we're doing in Iyun, I don't know if it will be one day, it may probably take a little more than that, and one of which I'm not going to discuss. One which is a topic later in the Masechta is simply, what is the definition of bor that you're chayav on? I know that sounds like a very strange question. What is the definition of bor that you're chayav on? The Torah says, you go out to the middle of Amsterdam Avenue, and you dig a hole, and you have a bor. Now, what is the inherent problem of bor as a form of nezek?
You don't own it.
You don't own it. It's not yours. Right? If the common denominator, we like to think, of all the Abbas Nezikin is mamono, shmirasan alecha, so bor is not mamono. And leaving aside the common denominator, how are you chayev? More so, the Torah describes who has to pay by damages of a bor. What does the pasuk say?
The last verse,
that's complicated, but who does the Torah say has to pay? What's the quote? Bal habor yishalem kesef yashiv levalav. So you know there's a famous maimer, I'm sure we quoted this last semester, in Pesachim, that shnei dvarim einam b'shusa shal adam aval asana kasef kilu hein b'shusa. Chametz b'Pesach and bor b'shusa rabim. When Pesach comes, you don't own your chametz anymore. The chametz, for whatever the reasons are, your chametz is worth nothing, and you're not the owner anymore. You can't sell it, you don't have the title to it. So then the question is, how do I know that the Torah makes it as if it's in your Rishus? Prove that.
You're
chayav on Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. You're only chayav on your own chametz. That's number one. Number two, is it bor b'shus harabim? Because you don't own them, and you can't own the bor. Because if I go and dig in the middle of the pedestrian plaza, or in the middle of Amsterdam Avenue, so that's not mine. Yet the Torah calls you the Bal Habor. The pshat, obviously, is that the one who's responsible for the bor. But despite the pshat, this became a big issue amongst the Tanaim. I don't know if any of you learned the fifth parak? We're going to look at certain sugyas, but what happens if I dig a bor in my rishus, and then I'm mafkir my rishus and the bor? So that it's here, appears in the Gemara, everybody holds your pater. Why? Because you dug the bor rishus, and it's not yours anymore. Where is the gray area? The gray area is number one. What happens if you dig a bor in your own rishus, and you mafkir rishus, but you're not mafkir your bor? Number two, what happens if you dig a bor in your rishus, but it's right next to the rishus haravim, where someone can fall from the rishus haravim into your bor? So we have kept things very neat and clean when we talk about bor, because we say that bor means I go into the rishus haravim and dig one, but it's actually more complicated than that. So that I'm not going to deal with. The issue I do want to deal with, which is a fascinating area, and it's obviously also a major area in American civil law, which I know nothing about except for I know it's a major area, is the question of joint liability or multiple, partners of liability. And the issue is going to come up almost derech agav in a line that doesn't exist in your Gemara, but does exist in Tosfos' Gemara, about when a bor hamisgalgel v'ragle adam uv'ragle behema, and you kick it, and it's kicked in the Rosh Hasharabim, and it does nezek. The Gemara does not, your Gemara does not ask the question, I bahade de ka'azke kamazke kochohu. It's a line. How do I know? How do you know that it's not in your Gemara? Well, but how would you know it's not there if it's not there? Because Rashi tells you it's not there. Rashi tells you you're not goreis that, right? Which means obviously that the girsa was existed, and you know what it means when Rashi says hachi garsina or lo garsina. It means in many cases Rashi had girsa, and he took out his pen and said, eh, not there.
Do you have about the
Kisveyad? I have not yet checked. I'm sure it's going to be in the number of the Kisveyad. I would be shocked if it's not in this case. I prepared the edition in the summer. I haven't looked at it in a couple of months, but I my Mari Mekomos is to extract those the Kisveyad readings of this particular Gemara. It's for that reason, by the way, you know that there's a famous line. There is a cherem that was issued at some point against being Magia the Svarim, meaning of the Gemara. And Rabbeinu Tam, in his introduction to the Sefer HaYoshar, Rabbeinu Tam makes reference to this, and he attacks his brother Rashbam. He says, as much as my grandfather was Magia, my brother Rashbam was Magia 10 times as much. And Rabbeinu Tam says, Kari Yodua, that there's a cherem against Magia Svarim. Okay. So anyway, that is a topic.
What is Sefer?
That's Rabbeinu Tam specifically. That is Rabbeinu Tam Sefer. There's two chaluk.
What's in it?
There are two chalakim, chidushim and shut. And theoretically, when you're doing a proper job, which we often don't have always the time to do, when you can't the Rabbeinu Tam, could I check whether Rabbeinu Tam actually appears also in the Sefer Yashar and whether he appears the same way or not. It's not easy because I forget how it's ordered and so on, but it's not done like the Chelek HaChidushim is, I don't think, done al Seder HaShas. I could be wrong. I haven't used it much, but anyway. I'm sorry?
I think like people call like most of things from there or could be something else.
I suspect that's a different Sefer HaYashar. But not that Rabbeinu Tam couldn't give Musar, but I don't think that's what's in there. So. Well, there is a famous Sefer HaYashar, which is a Galdigal Musar Sefer. It's called Sefer Bracious.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Right? Yeah. Famous Hakdama of the Nitziv. Okay. So that topic, that will be our first Eon issue that I want to deal with. So now, let's get started in the Gemara. I like those who are new to this year. I think, CJ, you might be the only true newcomer. You're among many, some returning. So I like to ask people to read, so you should be prepared to read. I remind you, if any of you have a reading issue for whatever reasons and you don't want me to call on you, just let me know privately, and I won't do so. So I'll just start with Yair. Why don't you please start, since I know that it's not a problem. And I know that you can also take notes while you read. I don't know. It's true. Okay. Go ahead. For those who haven't been here, a number of times I keep asking Yair, can you do this? Said, yeah, I can do that. So I know by now. All right. Okay, so firstly, just what is the case?
The case is a person places a rock, a knife, or another burden on top of a roof, and standard winds blow it off the roof, and it causes damage.
Okay. Now, if take a look in Rashi, Dibar Maschal, Atzara Shava Shebehen, Shadarkan Lahazik. Rashi writes, Demashma Af Kol Shadarkan Lahazik, Ushmirasa Walecha, Umay Motzis La'asuye. And Rashi there, in very few words, is telling you what? He's explaining something. We've already said it. But what is Rashi explaining there?
Why is this Mishnah's line not superfluous?
Well, that's all what you can always say there for Rashi. That's not sufficient. Umay motzis lasuye, Rashi's asking the question, what is it that the Mishnah doesn't specify, and presumably this is not a tolda of one of the avos, that the Mishnah is coming to be marbeh by stating Hatzara Shava Shebehen. No.
But Rashi says that in the beginning. The Mishnah is being marbeh af kol shedarko lahazik u'shmirat halacha.
You mean on the Mishnah?
Yeah.
I know.
So his question doesn't really make sense because it's rather obvious. Once you say that Tzad HaShav is coming to include any type of Nezek.
Rashi here is just reminding you, he's pointing where the Gemara is going. Rashi there is telescoped, you know, or telegraphed what the Gemara is going to say later. You know, he'll say the comment in the Mishnah, but now he's telling you when the Gemara says, Tzara Shava Shavam, he's explaining my Matzah this year. He's just spelling it out.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is somewhat broader. Why do we need to ask such a question? If we know that the Tzara Shava is an inclusive, you know, broader form of Nezek.
We know that, but Rashi has to tell you that. Look at the next Rashi, even though we haven't read the Gemara. Hainu Eish, what does he say? Detolda de Eishi. Why does Rashi say Detolda de Eishi? What does that add? In other words, read the next line in the Gemara here. Go ahead, read one more line. So now the Gemara says, so how does the damage occur with this rock knife burden that fell off the roof? If it's the knife on the way down, damages stuff. So Hainu Eish. So what's okay? So good, you're Hayev. So Rashi says Hainu Eish, and he explains based upon the next line of the Gemara Mishna. So when Rashi says Ditol to the Eishi, what's Rashi saying? Why does he? What is that? What's doing there? What is Rashi adding?
It's not a new thing that we found from the Tzad HaShavah. It's an exact Tolda.
His whole point, Rashi is going away to distinguish between a Tolda, which isn't listed in the Mishnah, but is derivative of one Av in the Mishnah, versus the Tzad HaShavah La Asuye Mai.
Does that mean that one might have the Hava Mina, that when we say Kol Shadarkol Hazik Shmirato Alecha, we are referring to Toldot, and then this Gemara is teaching us, no, that's not Toldot, these are other things?
No. Again, we know in the end. Look, had the Gemara said... Tzad HaShavah, you can't have a real Hava Mina that it would be a Tolda, because you don't need a Tzad HaShavah for a Tolda. A Tolda is learned through a Tzad HaShavah. How is it learned through a Tzad HaShavah? In a sense, in the most literal sense, how is a Tolda learned through a Tzad HaShavah? What's the Tzad HaShavah?
The Av has X
and the Tolda has X.
But
yeah.
It wasn't partial that there'd be Tolda to begin with.
Correct. But that still wouldn't, either way, I mean, the answer is, if you're going to learn things in a Tzad HaShavah, you're certainly going to have Toldos. Here's another way of looking at it. What's the difference in the Midosh HaTorah and the Drash HaSpehen? What's the difference between a Tolda and these things in our Gemara? Any of you ever say Rabbi Yishmael Omer? Even if you don't say Karbonos, you probably say it. Someone recite for me, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, B'shlos HaSei Midosh HaTorah and Drash HaSpehen. Go ahead. Stop. What is a Binyan Av? A Binyan Av is the broader category of Kal V'Chomer. A Kal V'Chomer is from Kal to Chomer. Binyan Av is the Shavin. A Binyan Av can be Mikasav Echad, which is effectively a Tolda. Not in those terms. A Binyan Av Mishnei Ksuvim is a Tzad HaShavah, where you can't learn it from one because of this, you can't learn it from the other because of that, but combined you can learn it. So that's the difference between a Tolda and the things learned by Bamei Tzad. One of them is Mikasav Echad, directly from the Av, and one of them is Mishnei Ksuvim.
If you were then, though, to hold like the Rosh against maybe Tosfot, maybe not Tosfot, and say that, you know, all these cases are Bor, and not Bor Eish or Bor Shor, would that be a Tolda?
I'm going to say L'may Nafkamina. That's my defensive response. What I would say, in other words, the Rush himself at certain points doesn't make as clear. It does. I would say it's a Tolda in that it has all the character. It has all the dinim of the Av. Let's remind you of something we said last semester. There's a difference between Tchunos and dinim. Tchuna is a characteristic of the Nezek, something that would lead you either to think it should be Pata or Chayev. A din, the fact that a Adam pays arba dvarim, besides nezek, tsar, ripu, shevet, boshes, is not a characteristic of Adam Hamasik. Right? It's just a din. What is the characteristic of Adam Hamasik? Adam muav olam. A person is always responsible for his or her actions. That's a characteristic. That's not an outcome, but that's a cause. So, what I would say is that once... if you adopt the Rosh's position, then what you're effectively saying is that all the dinim of these things have the din of bor. So it's like a toldah in that regard, yes. The differences between this and bor is an academic one, a conceptual one, which is if you only had the din of bor in the Torah, you wouldn't have been able to learn these boros. What's very difficult for the Rosh is what conceptual model of midah is this? That you need both, but then you say you only learned it from one. It's a very odd, it's sort of like you really learned it, could almost learn it from one, you know, it's like he climbed up all the way up the cliff, like in Princess Bride. Okay, he climbs all the way up the cliff, and he gets enough, he just can't sort of pull himself over the edge, and an ego montoya sort of schleps him over. So would you say that this was truly a joint thing? Or no, basically they're all himself, he got a little see you at the end. That's what the Rosh almost uses a line in, like a siyat or something like that, but I don't know, it doesn't fit in a neat box of me, the Shatan, and Drashas Behem. Right. Normally, when we learn Binyan Ami Shnei Kesufim, you have the weaknesses of both. In principle, it's a little more complicated than that. So the answer is I don't really know, but I know it has the dinim of the toldah, and it doesn't have the tchunas of the toldah. Okay. Fine. So now continue in the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, Iba hadei tekasli. Kamaski, Hanyuish, go ahead. And therefore what?
And therefore they're exactly like Ish.
And therefore you should
therefore
be
they don't qualify.
Correct, and you should be, okay, I'm not asking clearly. And therefore you should be chayiv. Right, just like you should be chayiv only on the basis of Ish alone. Now, so let me ask you a question. There are three things here. Are these things a reason to be chayav, a reason to be potter? Let me take the easy ones first. Shmiras an alecha.
Chayav.
Mamoncha.
Chayav.
Kochach ha-murabah.
But since it's what we know, it's in general, it's a potter.
So you would have thought kochach ha-murabah, that you didn't do the damage alone, you had assistance of another force of nature, that maybe you would have thought you're exempt. Now, that's a reason to be potter. Now, what is the din vayesh?
Chayv
anyway. So,
well, doesn't Tosu say that it's like, that it has the ability to spread, so it's chayv?
That's why, in other words, because it has the innate ability, even though you didn't do it, you can still be chayv. But the fact that there's a koach ha-chamurabo, I would have said on my own, intuitively, is a reason why you should be potter. Now, I'm not going to go over this Tosfos on Hamad Beis. We spent a bit of time in the last couple of days of Shir last semester. It is a very important Tosfos. Most Rishonim point out that this line suggests that koach ha-chamurabo is a chumrah. I don't buy it, actually. Structurally, literarily, I buy it. Because read the next line. So Ella, what's the other options? So Ella, Yair.
Ella,
Basa Denaichi. Now leave out the Edafku in business. We'll come back to that in a second. Malabor, skip down like 5-6 lines.
Malabor to Ken Inko Hachabura Torah Bahani Shikoha.
Oh no, I'm sorry, my mistake. Maishna Bor, that's what I want, on the 8th or 9th line. Okay. Only a couple lines.
Maishna Bor, Shaken Fatasiatul Nezek Monkha Shmatan.
Okay, so let's talk about these three characteristics. Tchila sasiyasa lenezek, a reason to be mechayev you or to pati you by bor. Chayev. Mamoncha, is that what? Yeah. Shemirasan alecha. So by analogy, one might say that Eish is the same thing. You might say that Eish is the same thing in the structure of the Gemara, but al pisvara it doesn't have to be that way. Al pisvara it could be that despite the fact that koach ha-chamurabo you're still chayav on Eish, so that's not a basis of pottering the knife in flight. And then mamoncha shemiras alecha is a reason to be chayav you like Eish, and so too these things are. It doesn't sound like that for the Gemara. Why would I want to say what I just said though? If the structure of the Gemara doesn't sound like that. Does anyone remember why do I want to say that koach ha-chamurabo is not a, forget the svara. There's a more compelling reason why I don't want to say koach ha-chamurabo is a reason to be mechayev you. And that's going to be because the next line in the Gemara. So now let's fill in now in between. Okay, so we've said that it can't be the knife in flight because that would be a told of eish mamish. So you chayev, but you don't need a tzad hashaveh. So Ella the Basar Denaichi. So now the Gemara says, Ida Afkarin who?
Ben Rav Ben Shmuel Hayibor.
So there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. If you're mafkir, you're nechassim. If you put your nechassim down in the Rishus HaRadim, and you are not mafkir them, if you mafkir them, that's bor. But if you're not mafkir them, what's the din? So Shmuel says, it's still bor. Rav says it's not bor. Why does Rav say it's not bor? No, that's not why. Shor is a last resort. Why does Rav say it's not bor?
Because you were mafkirit.
It's not domi the bor. So Rav says it's mishoro lamadnu. Mishoro lamadnu. So ida afkirinu, everybody agrees it's bor. Why should it be putter? No, this should be a tolda a bor. The ida lo afkirinu. There is no such line?
Yeah. But he is farmer, maybe.
No, there is such a line. Ella the lo afkirinu, excuse me.
Ella the lo afkirinu.
If one of the kisser has be e lo, I'm going to throw you out. Okay, Ella the lo afkirinu.
It's
a tolda bor. Now, what's missing? So why does the Gemara not say that? Let me ask you a question. Alpi Svara, can you learn this bor, this kind of bor? Can you learn this from Shor? Can you learn Avno Sakina Maso Shenicha Barosh Agag Vinoflu Beruach Metsuya? And now they're on the ground and somebody trips on them. Can you learn that from Shor?
Just from Shor?
Well, just from Shor?
No.
Why not, Ben Sian?
Stop calling it Koach Acher.
It's not alive.
Yeah, thank you, Alter. Nothing. You cannot learn bor from anything else because bor doesn't move. So you would say, Ma l'shor shekein darko leilucho lahazeh. So it's clear you can't learn the Amno sakina maso shenof l'ruach metziya v'iziku l'basar d'naichi. Of course you can't learn that. You can't learn that from shor alone. When Rav says mishor lamadu, as Tosas earlier on Daf Gimel Beis points out, what does he mean mishor lamadu? A combination of bor and shor. So why then does the Gemara not ask, according to Rav, Rav, at Shor? Why does the Gemara not ask anything for Rav?
That's already an answer.
Because we've answered the question. In other words, if you hold like Rav, that your chifetz, that you're not mafkir, that you put down in the Rosh Hasharabim, if you hold like Rav, that you're chayiv on the basis of Shor, you're learning on the basis of Shor and Bor, and that is the Tzad HaShavet, we've answered the question for Rav. Nothing further to ask. For Rav, that is the Tzad HaShava case. And therefore it doesn't. There's the Tzad, the Rav could have answered, the Gemara doesn't present Rav here, but Rav could have said that the case is Amno Sakino Maseo Shenichan Breshus HaRavim V'lo Hefkiran, and that we learn through a Tzad HaShava. We can't learn from Bor, because Bor is Hefker, and this isn't Hefker. We can't learn from Shor, because Shor moves, but this doesn't move. But between Bor and Shor, we can learn Chafatzav Shlo Hefkiran Shenichan Breshus HaRavim. Done. So it's only for Shmuel. If Shmuel holds, if we're working within Shmuel, and this is Abaye talking, Abaye says Avner Sakina Masosh, etc. So how will it work according? It'll work according to Rav. It won't work according to Shmuel. So how would this work? At least if you want to make it work for Shmuel, and of course the Gemara could have answered, oh, Abaye holds like Rav, but we don't hold like Rav. But we hold like Shmuel. Therefore, the Gemara says at the end of the day. When the knife damages in flight, so that's ish. When the knife damages after it's settled on the ground, that's bor. It's not a tzad hashava, it's either ish or bor, depending on the circumstances. It's a tolda. So now the Gemara is going to come around in a second. Noam?
Because we pass it like Shmuel, does Gemara even need to consider Rav?
So you're putting the cart before the horse. One might argue you could use this Gemara as a proof. Don't bring me rise from Kol Le'Apsakis. It's normally true. Hachasek Rabbi Surei Kishmo B'dinei, but not all the time. So the Gemara, Adarab, the fact that the Gemara is working so hard and doesn't want Abaye to say I hold like Rav might suggest that Abaye has to work for Shmuel too, because we hold like Shmuel. Not an absolute proof, but I could see Rishonim saying that. Okay. So now the Gemara turns around and beats down the suggestion. Yair, go ahead.
Why
Olam Dakur. Below them Malabor. Malabor can Kohakaburabo, Torbahani, Shikohakaburaban.
Okay, so now let me hear this. Let's read this carefully. And again, for some of you, this is Chazara. Those of you that Tosfos Hamad Beis at the end of last semester. The Gemara says the following. Evan Sakan Umasam, the Basar Denai, they're stationary. So you said to me, but that's Bor. And we say, no, that's not the same thing as Bor, because a Bor didn't have Koach Acham Urabo. This does. Now, when we say a Bor didn't have Koach Acham Urabo, and therefore what? A boar would be chayiv, whereas this, which has koach hacham urabo, the evin sakan umasa, which blew off the roof to become a boar. So there, you're potter. Well, you couldn't learn from boar. Why? Because koach hacham urabo, and therefore it's not all you're doing. And therefore, maybe you wouldn't be high on the basis of boar alone. We wouldn't know that you're chayiv on the knife once it comes to rest. Now, what is the obvious problem that now emerges? What's the seeming stira that appears in this Gemara four lines apart? Well, what was Koach Achar Me'urabo four lines ago? A reason why you should be chayv. Now you're arguing Koach Achar Me'urabo is a reason why you're not chayv, because bor is all on its own, you're chayv, but this has a Koach Achar Me'urabo to make it a bor, and therefore you might be part. Now, Tosus gives a beautiful answer, which, what was Tosus' answer to solve this problem?
Two different types of Koach Acham.
There are two different types of Koach Acham Urabo. I just engaged with you, as Tosus did in the question, in sleight of hand. What's the difference between these two Koach Acham Urabos?
One is, like, while it damages, that to get the fire like, to move, versus to move the object to a place where it then damages.
Correct. In one case, the Koach Acham Urabo is doing the damage. I mean, with your setup, the circumstances. The wind blows your fire, and that's what damages it. Whereas that's Tosus, that some Rishonim would say, that could be a chumrah. Whereas here, by the Evan Sakan Umasa, Shenaf Lebruch Metsuya, they only became a mazik in the first place with the assistance of the Koach Acham Urabah. And therefore, one could, doesn't have to, one could distinguish between the two. That's how Tosus suggests distinguishing between the two. It's very sharp. But there's a problem. Continue in the Gemara. Yeah, here. Now, once we say Eish Tochiach, look at Rashi. What is Rashi telling you here? What is Rashi adding here? What is Rashi illuminating here? The one-liners are the ones that kill you the most. It's when the Rishonim don't tell you what the question is. Think about the sequence of the Gemara. If it damaged in the course of falling, it's Tolda of Esh. If it damaged in the course of after it fell and stopped, it's a Tolda of Bor. But once we say it can't be a Tolda Bor because Koach Acham Urabo, now we say Eish Tochiach. What have we accomplished now?
It's a combination of the
Atzad Hashava. What makes it Atzad Hashava is that you couldn't do it from Bor alone. You're forced to come back to Eish. You can't do it from Eish alone, which we're about to see, because you're forced to go to Bor. That's what makes it Atzad Hashava. Until now we said this way it's a Tolda, that way it's a Tolda. Now we say, now it's a Tzad HaShavah. That's what we're trying to get to. That's what Rashi's telling him. Eish Tochiach, Vahenu Denachem Masnis, and that's Tzad HaShavah. Because until now, we thought, it was a Tolda of one or a Tolda of the other. Now we demonstrate it actually needs both. Okay, now the Gemara says the following. Mala Eish, why can't I learn from Eish? Eish is Koach Acham Urabo. And therefore, why don't you learn that Evan Sakin Umasa, Shehid Ziku Lebosar Denachu, learn information. Mala Esha Ken Koacham Urabo, Mamon Chashim Rasan Lacha, same through by these things. So the Gemara says, Yair.
Mala Esha Ken Dargo Leiluch Lahazeh. Or Nufiach, because of Redin.
Okay, now, what should the Gemara have said? The Gemara says, no, of course you can't learn this din of Evan Sakan Umasa Shehiziku after they were resting from Eish because they're not moving. Eish is moving. Maybe that's why you're chayev. But what should the Gemara have asked? The Gemara said, Eish tochiach, what? Eish tochiach, what does Eish tochiach mean? We didn't explain that fully. Why is Eish mochiach? Why did we say bor would be insufficient to teach you this din? Mu'urabo. So we said, Eish, koachach mu'urabo. What's the problem with the Gemara saying that? Why does that make no sense?
After Basa Denaisu, they're not moving. Tosus explained, this was Tosus asked this question. Tosus just explained there are two kinds of koachach mu'urabo, type A and type B. Type A, which is, it does damage in the course of movement because koachach air, that's a chumrah. Type B is that the koachach mu'urabo makes it into a mazik, and that's the reason why you should be pata, because you didn't actually make the whole mazik. So when I tell you can't learn Ivan Sakhan Umasa, the Basa Denaihu, from Bor, because Bor came on its own to be a mazik, whereas Ivan Sakhan Umasa needed a koachach mu'urabo, you can't turn around and prove to me from the koachach mu'urabo of regular Aish, because that's the other kind of koachach mu'urabo. It's the wrong one. That's type A. And that type A is a chumrah. That's why Eish is chayev. But this is type B, and that's why Evan Sakin and Muslim, the Bus and the Nayate should be potter. So how could the Gemara turn around and say, oh, Eish tochiach, meaning that it's koachach and rabo, and you're still chayev? Yeah, that koachach and rabo. Not this koachach and rabo. No?
I think when we did this in Rosenzweig's year, we titled this Bor as, you know, possibly as Bor al Yedei Eish, where...
You could call it that if you want.
Where you have a combination process where it is, you know, both type A and type B, where it's as if you lit a fire, let's say, which is your Aish, and your Aish went on to create a boar. So it's really just one continuous net.
Okay, so that is a teretz of Tosos. That would be one of the terutzim of Tosos. And that might be, the only problem with that teretz is that the Ikras Chaser Min HaSefer. Right? In other words, the teretz that Noam is quoting, which is really it's a way of formulating what Tosaf says in one of his terutzim, is that really it doesn't make a difference. Right? In other words, since your bor was, what you see from Koch Acher Ma'urabo of Eish is that even though your actions alone, your doing, whatever it is alone, wouldn't have been enough in the end of the day to cause the damage, but because if you could have foreseen that a koach acher would assist you, however it would assist you, in creating the end result of damage. Therefore, even if the koach acher me'urabo creates the mazik, not does the damage, it's as if you created the mazik. Right? That's essentially, your ish creates a boar.
That's why the Gemara calls it the same thing, ostensibly.
In the end, right, but the problem is that in the process, how could the Gemara have invoked, as a pircha, ma labor she'en koach acher me'urabo, unless the Gemara doesn't yet realize that both Kochach and Morbos are really the same. But if that's true, it didn't realize yet, where does the Gemara come to the realization? That's what the Igros Chaser Min HaSefer. But okay, that is probably the better reading of the Gemara, by the way. Because Tosus suggests a very Harif type reading, but it doesn't make any sense. What is the other reading Tosus suggest? Any of you remember? When the Gemara says Eish Tochiach, what's the next line in the Gemara? Mala Eish? Read. Somebody read. Yeah, so Tosa says maybe that's the Gemara's percha. That this koachach ha-urbo of Eish, it's a different kind. That's the one that does damage in the course of its moving. Not creates the mazik. The only one, why that reading, and I don't know how Tosa says this even, it's very clever. Why is that reading so exceedingly difficult? Because if in fact that is what the Gemara is saying, the percha never gets answered. In other words, we have three things here. We have Bor, which has no Koach Merubo at all. We have Eish, which has Koach Merubo type A, which damages in the process. You want to learn the din of Evan Sakhi Masa, which has a Koach Merubo type B. How can you learn it from either of these? Koach Merubo type B, the one where Koach turns your thing into an agent of Hesed. That's the reason, biggest reason why you should be Chayav or Pater. Pater. Because you didn't even make the mazik yourself. It's not like I lit a fire and the wind blows my fire and burns stuff. I didn't even make the fire.
I put my Eben Sakura Masa up there. Then the wind blows them off and makes them into a bar. So if that's true, if that's such a different kohacha meurabo, and that's what the Gemara says, shekeng darker leil chahasik, that that's not comparable to age, then at the end of the day, why are you fachai at all? Forget tzara shava, forget tolda. You should be potter on even sakil masa, shenichan barosh agad, enough lubruch metzuya, vehisiku lebasar danaychi. You should be potter because I didn't dig the bore, period. That's why I prefer, even though I love that Terence, you have to probably have to say that once the Gemara says, Eish tochiach, what the Gemara realizes is that all koach acham rabos are one. That even though there is a slight difference, even though when it's basa d'naychi, the mazik was created, the boar of Eben Sak and Masa was created with Ruach Metzuyah, you can learn from Eish that just as you should have foreseen the Ruach, the koach acher, that did the damage with your thing, so too you should have foreseen that the Koh HaKher would in fact make your Eben Sak and Masa into a boar, and then it would do damage. So if you want to call it Eish boar, that's fine. Okay. So the Chazar, the last line here is? Two words? The Chazar I did. Okay. So now we have our Tzara Shavet. That's according to Abaye. Now, take a look at Rashi. Shekein darko leilech. Now remember I gave you two interpretations of what this could mean from Tosus. One is not from Tosus. One is just what it normally means. Right? That Eish moves on its own and therefore you chayev, but Bor doesn't, so you might not be chayev. But you are, but we wouldn't have known it from Eish. The second was that very hard explanation of Tosus, is that when the Gemara says Mala Eish, Shekein darko leilech olahazik, that means, oh no, Eish has Koach Hachem Rabo type 1, which your Koach Hacher causes your thing to move and do damage that way. Whereas, Eben Sakur Masa is Koach Hachem Rabo type 2, and you can't prove anything to that. Now, what does Rashi hold? Of those two possibilities of Shekein Darko Leich LaHazik, read Rashi. Avol.
Which of them?
Shekein darko lele chule, right after Eish Tochiach. Okay. What does Rashi say?
It's not damaging.
The regular one. Not the clever answer, Tosus. It's saying that darko lele chahazik means it damages in the process of moving, not the darko lele chahazik Koach HaMa'urabo does the damage as opposed to sets up the mazik. I mean, you wouldn't have expected Rashi to say Tosus is an exceedingly clever answer. Rashi clearly says it's called the mainstream way of reading the Gemara. So this is number one. This is the first answer of Tzara Shaveh, namely Eved Sakin Umasa. So let's go ahead. Eved Sakin Umasa, if you leave it on the roof and a Ruach Metzuyah blows it off, if it damages on the way down, that's Eish. That's a regular tolda of Eish. If it damages after it lands, and you were mafkir it, according to Rav, or according to Shmuel, it doesn't matter, then you have a tzara shaveh of Bor and Eish. Between the two of them, you can now learn that this, you're chayev on the nezek. Even though it looks like a Bor, but it's not the same as a Bor, you need Eish to be mechayev you as well. Ben Siyam.
According to Rav, is it a Tzara Shaveh of like shore
board? So for Rav, I was hoping you would ask this, but you always have to do this to me. You're right.
I'm being lazy.
I just hope you gloss over. If you had Eben Sak Masa Shalohif Kiran, so I would say that according to Rav, you probably can learn it from, you might be able to learn this from, no, you probably need shore board and Eish.
Okay.
I think if you work it through, I think you know.
And going to Shmuel, since he said before, it's Bor-Eish, or you don't need Eish at all?
Shmuel would say Bor-Eish either way. For Shmuel, it's a Bor, whether you mafkir or not. You can learn it straight from a regular case of mafkir nechasa b'rishas harabim. Shmuel, hifkir or lo hifkir? Hiniach, okay? For Shmuel, it doesn't matter hifkir or lo hifkir, it's Bor. For Rav, only if hifkir is it Bor. So for Shmuel, it's always Bor-Eish, that's enough. You need those two. For Rav, if lo hifkir evan sakin umasa, you would need shor bar ish. No.
Rav, wouldn't it be even easier to learn this? Because if you have a shor bar already, you already have dark olele hul hazik. So the ish.
No, but then. I see what you're. I slipped there, and you might be right. You might be right. It could be that. I inverted something in mine. So it might be for Rav, you don't even need ish. If you look at Tosfos Dibur Maasdil, Ma Labor She'inko HaChamor Bo, which I'm not going to read, he talks about things that would relate to what you just said, actually. Okay. So that was option number one. Are there any questions about that? Okay. So I want to read one more Rashi, and I think that covers the Rashis on this piece. Dibor maschil hainu bor. In other words, if you will mafgir, this is the stage of the Gemara where it says, if you will mafgir, bein l'ra bein l'shmol hainu bor. So what does he say? Read your ear. Hainu bor.
Tervayu amri kol tekala shehifgir nafgal ami bor. Dechayev. Dehri dechayuva de borhu v'shut harabim.
Now, what is that drasha? Shall iske kriya upsicha balo? I hope you looked up the Gemara. I didn't look up the Gemara the first time I read it, but the second time I decided to go back and look. What does it mean? Al iske kriya upsicha balo?
Has it to do with just uncovering it?
That's the limud of the Gemara, as Rashi explains later, that means, it's clear from the Gemara, that it doesn't have to be your bor. In other words, going back to the question that I mentioned earlier, if I dig a bor b'shus harabim, why am I chayiv? After all, it's not mine. So the Gemara's drasha is, al iske kriya upsicha ba'alo. You know how it became mine? Only through digging or opening, not because I once owned the ground and then was mafkir it. That's the drasha that Rashi is referring to. Al iske kriya upsicha ba'alo. So, this is perfectly doma to that. In both cases, you are not the owner of the boar. You are not the owner of the object. And then he continues. Go ahead, Yair. Okay. So, now the question is, what is one of the primary characteristics of boar? That's why you can't learn any of the other avos from bor. Bor is a tremendous catch-all for nezikin because it doesn't even move on your chayiv. So why couldn't the Torah just have told you bor and not any one of the other avos, and we could have learned them all? That was the Gemara on Daf Hamad Beis, the previous Amud, which is ma lebor shekein tchilas asiyas olenezek. Why? What does that mean? Shekein tchilas asiyas olenezek. What is the purpose of a shor? Doing all sorts of things. What's the purpose of eish? Cooking, providing warmth. We'll leave that one for now that we could use right now. What is the purpose of adam? That's a question don't try to answer right now. Okay. But what is the purpose of a bor b'shus harabim?
To kill people.
It has no legitimate purpose in the first place. You're not allowed to dig a bor in the b'shus harabim. You are allowed to light a fire. You are allowed, animals are allowed to exist. People are allowed to exist. But there's no justification for the existence of a bor. From the moment you dig that bor, it's a bor b'shus harabim. It's an accident waiting to happen. And therefore, you can't. If the fact that the Torah says you're chayiv on a bor, you would not know that you're chayiv in anything else. So Rashi, aware of the fact that there, in order to be bor, and not to dismiss the limud from bor, you have to tchilas asas nezek. How do you have tchilas asas nezek here? Are you allowed to make a knife?
It doesn't mean asiyato. It means it's irresponsible. It's an irresponsible action to do inherently.
Yes, bor. It's got to be more than that. To let your shor go in the b'shus harabim, we don't say if I all of a sudden I break the rope. We don't call that tchilas asiyas nezek.
It's not irresponsible to lead your shore through Rishon HaRabim. You have Rishon.
On Karen. Karen.
Karen's Mishuna.
So what?
So that's not the default expectation.
It's not about...
I am mechuyev to watch my shore that it doesn't do Karen. I know I'm picking one of the two sides.
Not Karen, Tom.
Yes. And what about, and even Karen, find Karen Maud. It's not called Chilas Asiyah Solonezek. So the point is that, Rashi, you're trying to say what Rashi's saying. It means that sometimes I set up a circumstance where that's called, in other words, the knife wasn't created, but putting the knife down constitutes an action which is called Chilas Asiyah Solonezek. When I put it down in the Rishon HaRabim, that's kind of obvious. In other words, it's not the making of the knife, but I put the knife down here. And that action is chilat. That was what I wasn't supposed to do. Right? The damage hasn't happened yet, and that's called chilas asiyah solonezek.
It's like the, they don't say that like the shovel is chilas asiyah solonezek. It's only when like you do the action that makes it into a bore.
Correct. It's right. The bore is chilas. So when this became a bore, at that point it was chilas asiyah solonezek. You know what's not chilas asiyah solonezek? Arguably, when I dig a bore in my own rishus. Further than a mafkir later. But if you're talking about a bore that you're digging in Rishon HaRabim, its very inception is asiyah solonezek. When I put my objects down, I'm not doing nezek now, when I put them down on the roof, Rashi says, I could have foreseen that it was going to blow off the roof. That's called tchilas asiyah solonezek. It's a little bit of a stretch, but if Rashi doesn't say that, then the entire gemara should fall apart. Noam. You're the only truly dangerous one. Alta, what did you guys do in terms of where you got? CJ, where were you last semester? So, what you did from the beginning?
Yeah, we got to.
You could also be dangerous, but go ahead.
What about animals that are moed in the tefillah? When we say
it's still that requires a shmirah. It doesn't village. You know, there's only one tana who you might argue, and it's not really tchilas asiyah solonezek. Everybody else would say, of course, the animal is allowed to exist. You have to do a proper shmirah. There's one tana who says, ein shmirah l'shar ella b'sakin. Rabbi Eliezer. I would like to say, v'lo yishmedenu ba'alaf. And that's the Septuagint's reading. And therefore, I would say that with the exception of that, you're allowed to have the animal. You just have to do a shmirah. But you're not allowed... let me ask the following question. I'm not stopping. Are you allowed to let your shore loose in the Rosh Hashanah? I'm not going to go. I don't want to go further on this, but Rashi is recognizing the problem of where you have. In other words, I said, "How are you allowed to put your knife down on the edge of the roof?" No, because you can foresee the wind's going to blow it off. Now, are you allowed to let your shore, loose in the rishus harabim? The answer, or in somebody else's rishus? The answer is no. But the question is, in other words, that may be because there's no other, it's not a passive object. Okay, I don't want to belabor this further. Fine. So this is the first of the four examples. What we will do the next time that we have shir is we're going to sort of go through the other three. Please, on Sunday, tomorrow, you will have Makoros, God willing, by the end of today or by early tomorrow morning. Please, on Sunday, please make sure you've gone through the rest of the Gemara and all the Tosafim. And I imagine on Tuesday is when we're going to get to finish that, but I really want to move through that and then move on. And I'll take as much time as necessary, but it shouldn't be so much time as necessary. The big issue in this sugya is this Tosas Lasuya, but that is actually part of tomorrow. We'll get to Tosas tomorrow, but that is the subject that we're going to be dealing with in here.